The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
It's The Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Peter and Steve for our lunch.
All right.
Hi there.
Oh, that was very camp, Steve. But listen, anyone tuning in for the first time, yes, it's a weekend podcast. Listen, by all means, if you haven't, download the Vox Markets app. It's absolutely free, but priceless. All you need to do is download it, you know, email name, and you put it in there, and you follow a company, and then whenever that company releases news, you get it to the front screen of your phone within seconds. And I've seen prices move, actually, guys, right? About sort of 5 minutes after the RNS has dropped, it's been quite good news on a company. And so sometimes, you know, if you're quick on that draw and it's a company you've researched or you're already in and you want to top up, and you think it's a good time to top up, you could do it, you know, as long as you're logged in. Because I don't know about you, Barclays is a bit, I don't know about Harry and Larry, but Barclays, with all these security problems now, or issues, it takes a while to log in. How's your login system there with Harry and Larry?
They're just about to update it, I believe, but so it might get harder.
I updated mine this morning, actually. Seems all right.
Well
just
done, Steve.
Just had to change a few passwords and stuff.
Because Harry and Larry probably like, we want to stop people logging in and spending money. That's, that's our commission there, isn't it? Let's get it on there. Let anyone log in. We don't care, as long as they've got money. Yeah. All we need is a first name.
Yeah, and like, well, let's have everyone's password as password. That would keep you simple, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Everyone, no one forget it. Just put your first name in, use password.
Password.
And you can deal. That's what we want to earn commission as easy as possible. That's what we want. We don't want all these passwords and all this email nonsense. Just, you know, as long as you got money, it's fine. Yeah. You're welcome. Don't care where you got the money from. We don't want to ask you any questions about that.
No.
Just get in there. Deal. Yeah. Don't mind it, so we obviously we don't mind how small a deal as well. You know, Stevie Martin deals with 35 pence sometimes. We'll charge him we'll charge him 12 quid for that.
Yeah, we love Stevie Martin.
Just to keep him in business, you know.
Then he realises he's done the wrong size trade, he comes back and does it again. And then we charge him around 12.
And
just 35,000. Yeah, we just charge him. Then we realise then, you know, we charge him then because he's done the wrong amount and he'll come back and alter that, we'll charge him again. So we'll charge him three times for one trade for a normal person. So it's perfect. We don't want any power.
I reckon they should have fail-safes on these systems where they go, come on, you're not investing 35p, you've made a mistake here. They should be like, are you sure you want to invest this?
No, what they're saying is this. That's what someone suggested. They obviously hired a new guy or something to change the password. Said, I suggest we put a foolproof system. We want fools with money. Yeah. Yeah. You know that saying, fools and his money is easily parted? We want the fools to come and part with their money. We got a perfect guy like Stevie Martin. We've asked Stevie Martin. Any more friends, Steve? Get him to sign up. We'll give you commission.
Yeah.
Unless they change it, I'm staying with them.
That's why they don't want that, Steve. They want people parting with their money. Fools. And their money's easily parted. Anyway, listen.
That's what our business was built on.
Yeah. Talking about fools and money and... Anyway, I just go straight into BT, I think. We should just mention BT because it's had a bit of a rise this week. It bounced off. It went down to... somebody asked me, said, what was the low in BT? I said, it's £2 so far. £2.01 in current times, of course. £2.01.25. £2.25. And it's bounced off. And on Thursday, it had a nice little bounce there. It went up by 3% to £2.14. It's come back a little bit on Friday at 1.5% down. But... I've said that. Do you know what? I don't want to mention it. Every time I mention this, I've done it a couple of times. It needs to get above this level. It never does get above this level. But do you know what? What I think will convince it. It's funny. Isn't it funny, right? How the new chairman comes in. This is a guy from ex Rio Tinto, a big guy. He turned that around, right? And he really kept on the dividend and up the dividend and all that stuff. But, anyway, he comes in. His missus in the week buys £204,000 worth of shares at £2.04, you know? And all of a sudden, the share price rises a bit. And you're saying, come on, what's going on? I'd be very surprised if this goes lower now after that big chunk from the chairman or his missus. His missus is, but obviously, it's his money. But then I told my missus that, and she said, does she want to buy my shares? I said, I doubt it, because she can buy them a lot cheaper in the open market. Your shares, you bought yours way higher. So she wasn't impressed with that. Every day she's still asking me, I want my money back in BT. I said, sure, you will, don't worry, at the end of the year, but you get your money back. Every day she doesn't stop asking me about BT share price.
Why are you leaving it till the end of the year? Because you're just going to pay her back what she's invested, aren't you?
Because I want to prove to her that, you know, shares got up and down. And if you buy in the right time, I think you can make money off money. We were in too early here. There was a false... Listen, do you know what? When we got in, it was £3... Where was it? £3...
£2.99, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, what a bargain. £2.99. So we got in there. And there no, £3.06, wasn't it? I think the original one.
Yeah, it was just over
£3. There's a gap up there. Yeah, yeah. And it started rising. It rose towards £3.40. We thought this was... No, did it? Oh, we thought it was easy money anyway. We thought, oh, this is it. But I realised I should have looked at the longer-term chart. Because we've been in a massive downtrend now since 2016. And if you look, the share price has never closed, never, ever closed in the 2 years above that 200-day moving average, which is the granddaddy of the moving averages. It's the bull bear line. If you're above that, yeah, I'm bullish, man. If you're below that, uh-oh, bearish. So that's generally, on a simplified version, what it's about. So we need to wait, really, until it's above that. And at the moment, that line is at 250. That seems like a big, you know, a big ask. But don't forget, share prices don't just rebound in a V-shape. They will, you know, recover slowly, flatline for a while. In the meantime, that 200-day moving average will move down and meet the share price. So let's say 210 now. It'll probably meet at about 230 if we stay around this level. And so we say if it closes above 230... It's probably worth, you know, or even less now. As long as it closes above that 200-day moving average, it's probably worth averaging down, you know, if anything.
But yeah, but my experience with Megan is she's probably not that bothered about moving averages and stuff. She's just interested in money. So I'm just thinking for you, for a quiet life, why don't you just lump her the cash, keep her quiet, and then you'll hopefully recover it, like you say, as
listen,
it rises.
Listen, it's the only way she'll talk to me.
Okay, true, good point. Okay, it's a good topic of conversation.
So question, will you invest her money again?
No, I think now, I still honestly believe that this now, listen, they are turning this thing around. They've done everything. They've got a new chairman in, right? They've hacked off bits of the business they don't want or unprofitable. They've sacked 13,000 people. They've changed all the regulatory problems they've had. The BT Sports come in cheaper. They sorted out the pension. They've even got rid of the CEO, you know? They've done everything. So they are determined. And I just think now 2 years in a downtrend, I think sooner or later it'll come. And I still believe this will be profitable for us, you know, by the end of the year, close to, because we average down. I think it'll be, once, like I said, once the funds start getting behind this, once there's a technical change in this, all the algos, the big money algos, will come in and start buying up. And then it is like a super tanker. It'll go, and they'll all have these targets, like £3.20 and £3.40. It'll shoot past that, because the big money will be coming in late. But, you know, you can't stop it. Once it starts coming in, once it starts flying, you can't stop it.
What's an algo?
An algo is an algorithm. Algorithm traders.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought it must be algorithm, but I was thinking...
Well, a lot of big funds and all that now, and yes, they do have these sort
automated.
Of... they do have a sort of almost... Well, if it's not automated, it's semi-autonomous, you know? Mm. So what you get is these... they throw up these signals, going, it's 200 moving average, or cross, or this, yeah. And all of a sudden they look into it, and there'll be companies that have... fund managers have researched and got advice on, and so they'll just wait for a change in price. So, and all kinds of bigger traders do that, you know, they'll wait for certain... positive levels, you know, because why keep your money in something? Why try catch a falling knife, you know? Wait for the knife to hit the butter to go on the
toast. Yeah, it's just I haven't heard you talk about algos before, but okay, we're going to call them algos from now on.
Yeah. Cool. By the way, guys, I see on the Friday here, I did see someone, it was quite funny, just put the ticker ADL and then the link to Eton for applications to enroll in Eton, because do you remember David Whitby came the podcast? He said that. And always a lesson for anyone on a CEO. If you've got a CEO come in the podcast, you've got to be a bit of a salesman as a CEO, right? Sort of. You know, I mean, because it's your company and you're running it, and, you know, its reputation lies on what you do, you know, with it. Mm. So, but if you oversell, that's a red flag in my position, you know? And do you know what? When Dave came on the podcast and said that, I had a position in the stock. Of course I did. I sold down my position in the stock once he said, I'll put a bit of money in here, put your kids through Eton. He said that on the podcast. And I thought, what? I sold down the stock. Other people may have bought the stock. Thinking, wow! I sold down because I just thought, I never like a CEO who over-ramps his stock. You know, it's very unprofessional. But anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, so ADL is a big riser. You still hold ADL, guys, don't you?
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, I've sold bits along the way as it plummeted, but yeah, I do still own some.
So Dave Whitby's now gone. They're busy. Yeah. They're trying to pretend Indonesia's still happening, but they're not. They're refocused now on North Sea. So all that talk of Dave for a long time about, you know, Indonesia, them knowing what's going on there, it's like, you know, basically put on the back burner, you know, and see what happens, try and get out of it. Try and quietly forget about it and move on with something else. Yeah, it's still happening, yes.
But, do you think it'll ever recover, though, like back to...
You never know, you never know, you never know. You know. So we're up with ADL as a stock. Well, if they get a good asset and obviously get oil, see, oil is risky, you know, oil is very risky. And that's the trouble. And that's it's obviously different kinds of oil discovery. There's a little quiz. Okay, Steve, what's the most risky oil kind of thing you can do? Operation.
Kind of risky. Set it on fire.
That's quite risky. Yep. Steve, what's your answer?
I'm going to take a wild guess of exploration. Exploration.
There we are. It's so hard. The answer's so hard. Steve can't compute that. Well, do you know what? You're spot on. And also, you mentioned in your answer there another word which is, it's very apt, and that's wild guess. If you said wildcat, you'd be spot on. Because a wildcat exploration drill is somewhere where you've done no drilling before. You wouldn't just go into somewhere and just put a drill in the ground, hopefully find oil. There's been some, you know, preparatory work before that. So you go in, look at stuff like, seismic activity, try and figure out the structures. Maybe you look around you at other, you know, maybe companies that are drilled around you. Because it's all about geology, and geology is very similar, obviously. And it is... all reservoirs in one place, it could be in another place, very similar, very close. So you do all that kind of work beforehand. But the most expensive bit, you know, seismic, you can get 2D, 3D, it's very expensive. But if you, get the right stuff and you realize it's quite an oily area, renowned historically, oil, then you put the drill in. And that's the most expensive bit. The drilling costs a lot of money because normally you are, you know, having to, if it's offshore, which is normally the most expensive, offshore, deep water, well, so. You have to hire one of these rigs, offshore rigs, that drill thousands of feet down into the ground, you know, through the sea, into the ground, and try and find this oil, you know. And you're hoping to hit, you know, with a... You may imagine one of these, you know, drills. You're hoping to hit a reservoir with that drill, and you're drilling thousands of feet down. That is crazy, really, when you think of it. It's like standing under a mountain, go right under a mountain, and then just one little, you know, almost pinhole, going up through the mountain, and trying to find, you know... A golden phoenix egg. But oil.
Yeah.
But the other way round. So, it's high risk. And so that's why the chance of having success at that is very low. And that's why I'm not invested in any companies that have just one high impact project going on. Because to me, if you want to gamble, go to the horses with a couple of mates and have a laugh. You know, if you want to invest and put the odds on your side rather than odds against, do something else, invest in something else, you know, so, and that's why the only sort of companies I'm in, oil-wise, are ones that are appraisal, like I3 Energy, they've been done before, drilled before, or you've got Upland or United Oil and Gas have a risk, you know, spread across appraisal, which have, you know, happened before, previously drilled, and they're going again to re-drill it in certain ways, and they've got exploration, and they've also got production as well, which is the lowest risk, in Italy, gas. So that's why I like that, you know? They are diversifying for you, rather than buying three different companies, or, I mean, in fact, UOG, about 7-8 permits now. So rather than buying 8 different companies, you just buy UOG, and they've, you know, you've got your oil and gas covered right there, or Upland. We've got a couple of things going on as well. But anyway, there we are. So, how did we go on to that? What were we talking about? ADL, weren't we? Yeah, ADL.
Yes.
There's been a lot of... I remember a little... How was your thing last week, Pete? You went to... didn't you go to thing?
Thing? Arctic Monkeys. I went to the Arctic Monkeys at the Royal Albert Hall.
You've been old for that, haven't you?
Am I?
Yeah. Are you the oldest person there?
No.
Did they get you a wheelchair at the front?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
You are, Granddad. You're on a blanket for your legs. Do you want some earmuffs? A bit loud.
Terribly loud.
Yeah, it's a bit loud, Grandad. But put it at the front, put some earmuffs though, because it's very loud. All right. And you probably say, I don't care, can't pardon. Can't hear anyway. But was it all right, Pete?
It was good. Yeah, they're very good. They're kind of rocking out. We were in the posh seats, you know, in the old grand circle. So it was all quite civilised.
Yeah,
it's all quite a granddaddy circle, that's right. It was good. Thank you very much. So, I missed last week's podcast, sorry.
Yeah, we mentioned last week, I forgot to say this, I took my face feedback, which has had a bit of a drop, you know, and people said, and I missed the, there was two announcements on the same day, I think, wasn't there? There was a... What was it? There was a restructuring, that's it. Me and Paddy, we were talking about that, and Steve was there as well, of course, in the background or something, doing something, cooking. But
researching.
Yeah, researching. And then there was a restructure, and then the share price just fell off the cliff, and I didn't realise.
Yeah.
And also an RNS at 7:05 rather than 7 o'clock, saying the company has posted to its shareholders a circular containing a notice convening the general meeting, the purpose of which is to seek renewed authorities to allow directors to issue ordinary shares for cash on a non-preemptive basis, as the authority granted at their last annual general meeting has largely been utilised. So Steve will now explain what that means.
I have no idea.
Good. Pete, any idea?
I don't know. It sounds odd. Don't really understand it. Explain, please.
Right, well... You can only issue a certain amount of shares, you know, and it varies. I mean, I've asked people about this company to company, but you can't just basically issue constant shares and dilute shareholders to hell and back, you know, because it wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be a fair game there. So you have what's called preemptive rights, pretty much, as a shareholder. And that means, if they want to go above this level, threshold, to issue more shares, then they have to ask shareholders. But they can do away with this if shareholders vote. And it sounds dodgy, doesn't it? It sounds like you just open the floodgates to a load of placings, you know? Say, oh, no, in future, don't have to ask shareholders. Just go ahead and issue shares willy-nilly. Yeah. So that led to... but of course, you've got a bit of trust in the board. Now, they are forming a board of quality. And I do believe a board you'd expect to see on a FTSE 250 or FTSE 100 company. And so there's worry that there's a placing in the offering. That's why it dropped about 12% last week. And it's been dropping a little bit since. And my thoughts is this. I mean, do we all hold feedback?
Yes. Yeah.
Have we all done okay and doubled? Did you double?
I didn't de-risk, no. I didn't quite double, actually, no. So
what have I said, though? If you're close to doubling, right?
No, you haven't.
I've always said that. If you're close to doubling...
I've said,
if you're on a day where you've got like 30% riser... Yeah, if you're on a day with a 30% riser and you are like 95%, take some out. Because it may, and you don't know. That's what I did here. I took some out. I'm still up on feedback, of course. But it's come back.
Done.
It's come. Well, listen. You have to play
it. I'm still up.
Well, good. But listen. Anyway, that's what I'm saying. I just genuinely think they've come back a lot. But this is what I think. You've got a big director there, Simon Sturge, who bought a big chunk of shares at 3.5 pence. They're now 2 pence. He owns 6.5 million shares, but he bought 500,000 at 3.5 pence, which is what, about 20 grand's worth. But so he owns about 200 grand's worth of shares in this company. Now, he's a new signing, and he's from Merck. He's a big guy, you know, physically. You know, he's a big guy in this field. So they're not going to want to dilute him to hell and back, you know? He's a shareholder, come on board. They want to keep him on his good side. There's also other board members, I think, have taken part in the placing, so now have skin in the game, the CEO and all that stuff. So it's in their interest as well not to dilute and not to dilute on discount. I genuinely think they're building something big here. I think we may see quite a decent placing coming in, and it may be for a reason, you know? And I'd hope to see board members taking part, and I'd hope to see maybe a bigger investor on board. I don't know about this, but I just feel the quality of the board here and the connections they have, something special is in the offing. That's what I'm hoping. I'm not trying to ramp them, that's what I'm hoping. I don't know if it is. And maybe just a small placing with discount, I don't know.
I was looking at, you know, as it's dropped a little bit this week, or quite a lot this week, and sort of going, all right, the story has changed, but, we got guys like that in a much higher level. I'm tempted to buy more now. But is it worth waiting to find out exactly what's going to happen in terms of placing or whatever?
Well, you can do, exactly. Listen, if you want to take a bit of a risk, but to get a bit more of a reward, then you buy now on the fall, of course. But if you want less risk and less reward, you wait until the news drops. It'll probably go up that day or whatever, and then you let it settle down, then you buy it a little bit later. You know, it'll calm down. So that's it. Depends where you want, how you want to play it. You want to play the risky side of it, or the more, you know, less risk, less reward side of it. It's up to you, isn't it, really? But I think the story is changing for the better here. And I have confidence in this company going forward, definitely, still. You know, so they've signed a decent deal with GE. They've renewed with Papworth Hospital. You know, the product they've got is good. The board they've got around them are very good as well. So I quite like the story. I think it's decent, you know. Decent story. Oh, we've got to mention Asian Met. Did you see Asian Met drill? They did a drill. They put a drill through Butong. Butong was like... I drilled right into him. I'm going to get the... It was annoying because it's down 5% on it was down on a Thursday. It went up for a little bit and down on a Thursday, and but they intersected in Bhutan 556 interval of copper. Basically, as you go down there, they drilled about 607 meters end of hole EOH. That's the end of hole. The end of hole. But even at the end of the hole, there was a mineralization, copper mineralization. So the drill wasn't even big enough. So they went down decent grades, you know, above 1%. They got 239 meters at 1.16% copper. That's a lot, you know. So all of it's way above 1% copper, all the way down, pretty much, you know, in intersections here and there. Got to the end, still mineralization. This now puts them up there with the big boys. It's the kind of project they can expand the resource of and say to the bigger guys, do you want to come in on this? Do you want to buy this? Because it's a mid-tier to big-tier, you know, project. It's getting big. And so that was very impressive. But I think...
I was surprised that we didn't see that much of a movement in the share price. And what does that suggest? Is it suggest that kind of everyone who's going to be on board is on board kind of thing?
It suggested this drill hole was coming. Did they mention this? They mentioned this, didn't they? And people were expecting it, really. And so it's...
Priced in, was it then? Yeah.
It was priced in. It was at travel. You know, it's better to travel than arrive. This comeback, this pullback here is always a good little thing, I think, you know, because we know they've got that there. They've de-risked it a lot more, and yet the ship price has come back a bit. So I think that's decent, you know, for any wannabe top-ups. Copper, you know, deficit, 5-10 years, it's going to be in a deficit. And so copper projects, you know, you should look at copper, definitely. What else are we looking at? Anything else? Oh, by the way, I've jumped back into Powerhouse Energy. And I tell you why. It's half the price it was when I first got out. I think I bought it 1.2 last time and sold it about 1, right over there, you know. I've got back in. I've talked to Keith in the podcast. I like what's happening. I think, especially now, you know, when I last invested, governments around the world didn't put dates on when they were ceasing to sell petrol and diesel cars in their country. That's a positive turn, right? There's this war on plastic. That's a positive turn. This tech is amazing. If anyone doesn't know what power says, they've got these DMGs, which is distributed modular gasification units, which are portable. You can park them up next to some kind of, you know, in this country, we incinerate a lot of plastic, a lot of rubbish, and, you know, it just gives off a lot of noxious gas. You get nothing from it whatsoever. They've got this DMG, which, you know, sort of incinerates this stuff, but creates syngas, which can be created in hydrogen, which, of course, can be used in hydrogen fuel cells for transport. And they're in this part of the economy, but, you know, all the spotlight is on electric vehicles and all that stuff. But there's a lot of big players really investing a lot of money in the hydrogen fuel economy. Now, there's two ways of creating hydrogen. There's electrolysis and something else. But both of them have a big carbon footprint. So you're creating more carbon than, you know, it's not that good, really. Now, the way they do it, it's pretty much tiny carbon footprint, tiny, almost a 16th of what traditional ways are. And also, you can produce electricity or hydrogen. And the tech is very cutting edge. It's very early stage. But if they get one commercial contract, they've had lots of collaborations, MOUs. If they get one commercial contract on this, I think this will go bonkers because they're a 7 million market cap. I bought just below 0.5, which is the last placing, so I'm happy with that. And I just think it will go absolutely bonkers, this tech, if it catches on.
And the ticker code is PHE, isn't it?
Yeah. It's one of those things, I think, you know, it's a bit of patience, a bit of volatility. I didn't put too much in. I'm pretty scaling as normal. But I'm happy with the tech here because every bit of release they've had on the tech and how it's working, it's been going well. And Keith said, I'm super confident on the tech completely. And I did question him on a couple of things. I said, but don't you need certain feedstock? That means the waste you put in. He said, like, it's either going to be tyres or plastic. You know, you can't just chuck it all in. He said, well, the thing is, he said, yeah, that's not a problem, though. He said, even incinerators, a lot of stuff is separated anyway. So, you know, if companies are taking them to incinerators and they have to be separated anyway, and we do at the moment, don't we? We separate stuff anyway. So it's not an issue. We will have plenty of feedstock. And he said, well, the ideal thing about these, you know, these little distributed, like containers, you know, there's transport containers, they fit into one of those, and you can take them to the site where the rubbish is, you know, so you can park one of these up in some kind of rubbish site, and you're earning money and all that stuff. So I love the tech of this. It's like turning rubbish into energy, which is amazing. And
people, I mean, the price, looking at the chart, the price has tumbled down, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It has been kind of, the last month or two has kind of, it's bumped along the bottom there, hasn't it?
So. So you got an issue here where no one wants waste, no one wants plastic, right? No one wants it. And everyone wants now energy, but you're not allowed to use oil or diesel. So if this solves this issue, you know, I just think it'll be go gangbusters. And you've got like 7 million market cap, you know. I just genuinely think one commercial deal, it's still risky, it's very high risk, it's new tech. I think it'll go crazy. I've also talked about gas. I've also bought some Infrastrata. I had some of these a while back. They're a gas storage company in Northern Ireland. Apparently, gas it could supply 25% of this country's gas storage. NPV about 67 million over 20 years. A market cap of 4 million. They've got cash. They are now going through what's called front end engineering designs for the storage unit and all that stuff. And I quite like it. They've brought on a lot of decent, very well-known companies like Costain and CBRE to help them with this project. So I quite like that a lot. Worth looking at. I had these a while back. Infa, I-N-F-A is the one. Any other talks?
Your blog about Cora again, you bought.
Yes, you know what? Cora reminds me of Upland Resources. 2 years ago, when I was writing about Upland Resources, it reminds me of them because they've got a lot of skin in the game, the directors, and they know what they're doing, you know? And I've been looking at, I was chatting to a guy called Merlin Mar Johnson, right? Cracking name, isn't he? But he's the CEO of Eris Resources. And he's very good with, he used to be a fund manager, and people used to pitch to him resource companies. And so he got very good at resourcing and know how to do it. And I was told, Hayden Locke as well, the business development manager of Cora, said, Dr. John Forster, CEO, is very understated. He's had some excellent grades there in Mali. And Mali is very prolific with gold. I didn't realise this. You know, you do find some what's called elephants, massive sort of resources you can find if you're in the right area.
Right.
And anyway, and so I was told what to look out for on grades. And you've got to look at, he said, what to look out for when you look at gold grades? There's a bit of a help here. So if you look at grades, we see drillings. You look at 20 grams metres. So what that means is, say you see a drill hole and it says, we've intercepted, and they'll tell you at what depth and what the intercept is. That means, you know, they take a big core drilling thing, there's a drill round, they'll pluck the side of the ground like a corkscrew, and they'll go through it, do an assay, take it to the lab, and they'll say how many grams per ton, right? So they'll say, we'll drill a hole of it, say 100 metres. From 20 metres to, say, 30 metres, we got, say, you know, 1 gram per ton in that bit there, right? But he said, what you have to look out for is 20 gram meters. So that could be, say, you know, we've intersected gold from 10 meters to 30 meters at a gram per ton. That's good. Or it could be less than that. So it could be 10 meters at 2 grams per ton, because that's 20 gram meters. Do you understand? Or 5 meters at 4 grams per ton. So it can be shorter intercepts, but the grade has to go up. And the reason why, obviously, you need good grades, and the shallower the better, of course, the closer to the surface it is, the better, the more economical, less drilling, less processing, and that all costs a lot of money. So ideally, what you want is shallow, that means you don't have to drill down too far, high grade. Yeah. That doesn't often happen. But the higher the grade, of course, the better it is. But generally, the higher grade is, the less length the intercept is. But anyway, listen, Cora Gold has they've got about 15 permits in Mali. The Sanankoro one, excellent intercepts there. They've just looked at Tekleduka, another drill intercept there. That one there is also, Hayden said, this is one of the best projects I've seen, initial drill results, in the last 10 years in Mali, and Mali's quite prolific goal-wise. And he said, you know, and the last one we did there, like that, was is now a 5 million ounce resource mine. And essentially, you need a million or more to produce a mine, you know? But they're right in the southern core of the first one will be a million plus easy, because the structures are massive there. So it's all in one place, long structures. They can drill along it. But yeah, I really like it because also on the board, just check the board, phenomenal board. You know, Lord Michael Farmer, who's like, you know, he's called Mr. Copper because he apparently his fund used to help import, export 15 to 20% of China's copper needs. He got a lot of money. He upped his stake He's upped his stake to 12% of the company on the last set of drill results. He knows what he's doing in the world of mining. On the board as well, Paul Cook, part of the Cook family, they own a massive chunk of shares. Like I said, they sold Lion Ore in Africa. It's an African mining company as well for $6.3 billion. You know, in 2007, they were the major shareholders there. So they've made it in mining in Africa. You've also got Hummingbird Resources, owns 34% of the company. They have gone from being an explorer, and very few companies do this, to producer in Mali, 10 kilometres south of Tekelezuku, which is not the flagship, the second one they've drilled was very good, Cora. And they could easily just... you know, ship that down the road to them, chuck it down the road to them, have them process it, and it'd be so cheap. Because the most expensive but thing about mining is building the mine and drilling and building the mine. That's all they have to do. They can even sell it. I don't know what they do, but there's plenty of money there. So many things going on here, and I just genuinely think from a 7-8 million market cap right now, in a couple of years' time, if you look at the charts, you go from explorers, which are all around about sub 20 million, and then once you go to that producer status, you become almost triple digit. Market cap. So I'm seeing here, honestly, obviously you may have some dilution because you have equity releases, so that up the market cap a bit. But, you know, you could expect, if they go through to become a mining company here, you could expect over 100 million market cap. And that is 10 times where we are. So put some dilution to it. So let's say 8 times, 7 times. But yeah, and I like Dr. John Forster. He's brilliant, apparently. I've had a couple of people say, he's one of the very good geologists, one of the best I've ever worked with. So I really like it. It just reminds me of Upland. You know, the guys that all got, all in the know, have a big chunk of shares in this tiny market cap. I really like it, you know. So Cora. And it's not talked about. People are not catching on to this. And I'm just thinking, put it on your watch list. Do some research. Wait for the next drill results. So they keep coming in consistently like this. They know they can, you know, convert this into a mine. But anyway, I know Steve's busy. He's doing some filming. Steve, who are you filming with?
It's with the college. They've got an awards evening on.
Oh, you're regular there now, aren't you? That awards evening?
Yeah, a couple of years.
Yeah. But by the way, listen, one other thing. Europa Metals, which is Farron Crescent's changed. His name's changed, all that stuff. Still issues with, I don't know what Harry and Larry like, but I can't, my sell button's missing. It only, did I tell you, I opened up my portfolio this week, right? It had 4.9 million in my ISA. Wow! Oh, hang on.
Where's it all gone?
So 4.9 million because of the mess up in the price, the share price of thing. Andlas just released a news company notes recent social media discussion regarding the potential purchase of an interest in oil and gas assets in Indonesia. Oh yeah. It is true, but the discussions remain at an early stage.
They were eavesdropping on our conversation.
So they are selling their Indonesian assets, essentially. There we are. But there we are. So, marvellous.
So, going back to your portfolio, it's not worth £5 million then?
No. But it was nice when I tuned in there. Literally, was it 5.9 or 4.9 million? Something like that. Yeah. So that's my ISA was worth it. So that's nice little ISA, that, isn't it? 4.9 million in just ISA. But that was because of Farron Crescent. So still issues with it. But hopefully now we're going to get some news coming out from the guys there who are developing the project, starting the scoping study. And let's look at the market cap on this again. They've got just under £1 million to develop this asset, which is worth millions and millions in Spain, safe jurisdiction. And we've got a market cap here of 3.27, literally, almost a third as cash. And it's ridiculous. I honestly think if they develop this, it's going to be one of the best performing stocks this year, EUZ. Do your research. I've written a couple of blogs on it. Just changing over now from Farron Crescent to Europa Metals. But I think potential is good here.
We could do with one of them, haven't we? We've not had any nice, hefty rises for a while.
Speak for yourself, Steve.
You've had... that's because you're... Yes, because you're... Steve, you've had i3 Energy. It was quite good, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, I'll soon forget.
I haven't got a lot of money in there, though, so it's not been a big earner for me.
Well, you can't blame it on that, can you, Steve? Just because you haven't.
Well, I'd like a few of the ones I put a bit more money in do some big rises, and Europa Metals would be one of them.
There's no problem on Harry and Larry just looking at buying or selling.
Well, isn't there? That's because, see, Harry and Larry don't mess around, do they? They say, listen, if they any mess around in the changer, they get it sorted, IT boy.
Yeah, because come on. We can't buy and sell.
How can we get...
They'll probably just take the sell anyway and just worry about it later.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just put a fake button in there. Don't care. How can we part fools from their cash if we can't get people buying and selling and reserving commission? Stevie's trying to buy and sell there. He can't do any of it. Just put some fake buttons on.
Yeah. And as soon as he presses that button, we get paid. Lovely.
Yeah. That's it. Lovely. Lovely stuff. And we'll worry about it later. Get the commission. Yeah. Take the commission. Yeah. We'll worry about the rest for later. We'll sort the trades out.
Yeah.
No problem. Yeah. They call you back in a week, Steve. Say, right, Steve, what trades did you make last week? Because we got we haven't a clue now. We got a notepad out, so let us know.
Yeah.
All right, lads. We'll have a nice weekend. Any plans for the weekend?
No, actually, not a huge amount. Which is quite nice.
I might be going to the polo tomorrow.
Oh, excellent. He drops that casually, doesn't he?
Yeah. Who is Larry?
Well, I don't know yet. I've kind of been invited, but not yet. I'm just waiting for a confirmation spot to the event. So we'll see.
Are you sure someone's offered you to go to the polo, or they offered you a polo, Steve?
Might be that.
A polo shirt.
Yeah. Steve gets dressed up and he goes out to see his mate standing in the corner shop, and he just gets a pack of polos out. Oh, Steve, you want a polo? I'm all dressed up. Yeah, Danny. All right. Lovely. All right, lads. Good. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.